In Paul's letter to his church, to the city in Corinth, in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes that we are to be called stewards of the mysteries of God. What are these two words, stewards and mysteries? They're not words that we use very often in the way Paul is using them. What is a steward? Most simply, it is someone responsible for the care of something. Flight attendants have been called stewards, as everybody on the plane is in their care completely for the duration of the flight. In stores or in workshops, you have a shop steward, someone who is responsible for the care of everything in the room, for the staff, for the customers. What does a steward have to do? On top of any other duties, a steward is someone who is observant. It is someone who is taking notice of what is going on, and what shape everything is in, and how everyone is doing. A steward is someone who is always paying attention, and trying to put into words what they are seeing. And this attention leads to care. It leads to protection and nurture. The steward is observing in order that things might be might function well and live up to what they can be. A steward is responsible for the care. As for the mysteries of God, this doesn't mean that God in his spare time writes paperback novels to put on grocery store shelves. Mystery just means the secret plan that God has had all along since the very beginning of the world. But in the Gospels, what we read is that the secret, the mystery, has been revealed finally to us. It is Jesus Christ. This was God's purpose and God's mystery all along, that the world and all the peoples would be invited into salvation through Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, God with us. This was the mystery. The prophets, John the Baptist, were all stewards of God's mysteries, stewards of God's plan of salvation. What does this mean? It means, therefore, that they were people who were paying attention to what God was doing in their lives, that they were paying close attention to what God was doing in this world. And this care, this attention that they paid toward God led them to take care of both the message that they had been given, but also care for people and the world and the cities. It is so obvious when you read the prophets how what they perceived God doing in the world led them to directly care deeply about their people around them and the cities and the nations and this planet. The prophets and John the Baptist died long ago. So who are the stewards now? Maybe you feel like a student in a classroom, hoping that maybe the teacher won't look at you. I'm not up to this. The stewards have handed their job on to us. I remember a transition in my extended family life when we lost our grandmother and then we began to lose aunts and uncles. And there came a time when, as cousins, we were sitting around a campfire and thinking, it's up to us now. It used to be so easy. You would show up and the turkey was ready and the pies were ready. The food was, you just had to come in and enjoy, play games and enjoy the food and enjoy the company. Well, now the torch was being passed on. And if, as cousins, if we wanted to see our family continue to draw on the strength that comes from family, we would have to take responsibility for it. The joy of cooking is inscribed with this quote from Faust: "That which thy fathers have bequeathed to thee, earn it anew if thou would possess it." That which thy fathers have bequeathed to thee, earn it anew if thou wouldst possess it. The prophets were stewards of God's salvation for our sake, and now they passed this role on to you. And like all responsibilities, being a steward is something that must be lived out throughout your lives, day by day. Based on today's lessons, I wanted to highlight three qualities of a steward of God's mysteries. First, a steward inquires into salvation. Now, according to Peter and John, I just want to back up a second here. According to Peter and John, there is a progression, an element of progression and growth, of increase that ought to be in every saved person's life. It means that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is continuously active in your life. It wasn't just a one-time event in your past, and it isn't just something we're looking forward to in the future. But God, right now, day after day, is at work in your lives. John said of Jesus, "Jesus must increase, and I must decrease." Now, John didn't mean that Jesus needs change, or that Jesus is somehow getting bigger, or anything like that. But rather that Jesus needs to mean more and more to us day after day. We are the ones who are changing. Jesus has to play an increasingly larger role in our lives. We are growing into the fullness that has been revealed in Jesus. And Peter wrote, "You are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You are receiving. Yes, we have received, past tense, when we first came to know Jesus, when we gave him our lives, when we were baptized. We have received from God salvation. And yes, we will receive salvation when Jesus comes again. But also today, the invitation is for you to continue to receive your salvation. Peter and John are pointing out that salvation is active. It is alive. It is ongoing. Because God is active and alive and present in your life and in this world. And a steward is simply a person who is paying attention to all of this. A steward is someone saying to themselves, "How is God at work in my life today? Where was I aware today of God's presence? Where did I see God at work in the world? What's happening in my heart, in my thoughts, in my character? What is God asking me to do? What is God changing within me? What has God given to me?" The steward notices and pays attention and reflects on these things, and it leads to care. To taking care of these moments when you are aware that God is alive and present in your life, knows you by name and loves you, likes you, and that God is alive and present in this world. The steward recognizes these things and pays attention to them and takes care of them. Often we see God at work through the good times. Maybe it's easiest then. And as we approach Christmas, it's easy to see how God strengthens us through joy, how that joy gives us energy to go out and to try again, to renew ourselves in prayer, to renew ourselves in service to others. How Christmas softens our hearts, fills us with love for others, encourages us to give and to serve joyfully. When good things happen, it is easy to recognize God is at work and to name it. God, this was you that did this. This is your goodness. But God is also present in hard times. As Peter wrote, "Now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials." And in some mysterious way, sometimes even those hardest times tie us even closer to God. That in the hardest times, it is maybe then especially that we have a sense that God is the one strengthening us. Because we know that were it not for God being there in the midst of the pain, or the hurt, or the fear, or the anxiety, if it were not for God being present in that moment, we would not be able to stand and continue. God is also present in hard times. God is able to redeem the hard times, helping us get through them, helping us to be changed for the better by them, so that in the end these hard times don't end up being for nothing, but rather they accomplish God's purpose in our lives. In this way, all things, good and bad, work together for the good of those who love God. They come and God uses them for your salvation. And this is part of our joy. What can we do to notice God? Some people keep a journal. I cannot do that. I have tried many times a journal. It never sticks. But I know many people who do. And what do they journal? Well, what was going on today? And where was God at work? Maybe you don't have much to write at first. But I promise you that the more you pay attention, the more you will notice. It's like any muscle in our bodies. The more we use them, the stronger they become, the more effective they become. Other people end their day by asking, when was I most aware of God throughout the day? When was I least aware of God? Part of what we're trying to do is say, well, there's certain habits and practices and activities that seem to be drawing us away from God. When I do these things, I lose my sense of God's love and presence in my life. There are other things that I do. I'm always aware of God in those moments. Maybe I should do more of those things and less of the others. The folks of the last 3 weeks now, have been modeling, and by sharing their testimony, they've been modeling that they are paying attention to when God was clearly at work in their lives. Not just because it's so unusual, but because, no, God is at work in each one of your lives, and to encourage us to look ourselves, to name ourselves what we see. Where have you been aware of God at work in your life? What time and what period in your life, what moment in your day were you aware this was God? God is alive and present. Do you see how all of these things are working out your salvation? How God is using the good and the bad to change you and to create you into the image of Jesus? The second characteristic of a steward that I want to talk about is to recognize, a steward recognizes that their work is in service of others. The prophets served us by sharing what they observed, by sharing what they paid attention to, by passing it on faithfully, by writing it down and by preaching it. And the folks who shared their story are imitating the prophets of old. They have looked into their life. Jesus revealed to them, that was me. I am here and at work. And they served us by sharing their story with us. Somewhat intimidating thing to do, to share something deep and personal, freely and openly with everyone. And how does it feel when they do that? I feel encouraged myself. I feel renewed. God is listening. God sometimes answers prayers by having pastors pull exactly what you need to hear out and say it. And it's not just us that need encouragement and strengthening. What about the people outside the church that we know, friends and family, that really don't have anything to do with church? It seems to me that there are many people, many of my friends, whether it's through the mundane repetition in their lives and the sort of the way that things just carry on and are the same, or whether it's because they enter into some crisis, I hear them say, there has got to be more to life. It is as if they are searching for help to name that sense that they have that there is something more. Not that they don't think there's a God and I need to tell them there's a God, but rather they just don't know what to call that sense that they have, that there is more here, that there is this presence that hangs around at times, that seems to show up unexpectedly, that seems to call out to them and make them aware of hollowness and emptiness and flatness of life. When we are paying attention to God's presence in our lives, it helps us to put into words and into name, this is God, so that we can talk to others as directors, as people to help them notice what's going on. Not in sort of proofs of God's existence or arguing them into the kingdom, but to say, that sense you have, that isn't the sense of God's absence, that's the sense of God's presence. It is your heart responding to God near you. Help them to name it and identify it. But how can we, if we are failing to recognize God's presence in our own lives? We can also think of the next generation. The children, now we've intentionally tried to have these testimonies given when the children are listening. We want them to know that it's not just about, what do they see us doing? Reading the Bible, singing, praying. But they have the same questions and the same doubts that we do. All my children, I think, have said, I want to believe in God, but I'm just not sure God is real. Where is God? I can't see God. I can't hear God. And yet, I suspect that most of us have stories like the ones that we've heard where we can say, no, there was these times where I knew that God was real and present and with me. And we need our children to hear that this is the ground of our faith, that this is the basis for our joy and hope and love, not just something that we've read and learned and said, well, I have to believe this because it's what I was told to believe, but rather we believe this because God has revealed God to us. We've come to know Jesus in our lives. We tell these stories, we pay attention to them, and we tell these stories in service to one another and to our wider world and to our children. A steward is someone who watches and pays attention in order to serve others. The third characteristic of a steward is joy in Jesus. John, in his gospel, calling Jesus the bridegroom, said, "The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled." John is saying, I had been longing to hear this voice, and I heard Jesus' voice, and now my joy is fulfilled. John was paying attention. John was looking for God at work, and hearing Jesus' voice gave him joy. God was present. Similarly, Peter wrote, "Although you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy." I don't always match that. It's 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm getting up to get ready for prayer with people, I'm not exactly feeling indescribable and glorious joy, among many other times. And yet when I pay attention, when I day after day am working on paying attention, looking for Jesus, when those moments come, when I recognize that God is at work, it is such a joy, and it makes everything else worthwhile. In their lifetime, the prophets didn't see the whole story of history clearly. They didn't clearly understand everything that was happening around them. They didn't understand everything that God was doing. They couldn't see exactly how this was all going to work out. They did not get to experience God's fulfillment in their life, the fulfillment of their prophecies in their lifetime. Like Moses, they died outside of the promised land. And John was executed while Jesus was still beginning his ministry. However, we have John the Baptist's words, "My joy has been fulfilled." There is something about recognizing God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit present and active in your life and in the world that leaves you with a sense of completeness, of wholeness. And on the one hand, we cannot understand everything. We do not see how everything is being worked out. But at the same time, there is a deep peace that resides within us when we recognize God's presence in our lives. And not just peace, joy. Joy is different from giddiness, from excitement, from entertainment. The joy that comes from knowing Jesus is a joy that helps you be ready to laugh when things happen to you that you'd wish wouldn't. Being ready to laugh when other people are expecting everything to be taken very seriously. It is joy, this joy of Jesus is being ready to delight in the smallest things, birds, flowers, friends calling. The joy of Jesus means being awake and alert in life, paying attention to see where God is at work, ready to give thanks for the good things, ready to cry out for mercy, God's help when things are going poorly. And then thinking about these things, reflecting on them, trying to put them into words. There is a deeply felt joy that lives within us the more we get to know that God is present. Christmas is more than a party to honor Jesus and his birthday, as it were. We celebrate Christmas because it helps us to develop all sorts of habits that allow us to welcome Jesus increasingly into our lives. When we practice Advent and Christmas in this way, it is not just a celebration of something that happened in the past, but it is part of our growth and our salvation. Let me retrace our steps of Advent so far. This is our hope, that Jesus comes into our lives and into our hearts. We are his temple. And he came to his, just as he came to his temple on earth, so he comes into our hearts and lives and purifies us. This is our peace. Jesus and his word are our rock. Through the coming and going of the storms of life, we are awake to Jesus in nature, in scripture, and in prayer. This is our joy. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are able to pay attention to what God is doing in our life and in our world. And we are able to pass these things on to those who need to hear it. Thanks be to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.